morning, family. It's great to see you. Let's all stand together to our feet and let's sing together. Family, well, it is good to be with you and get to sing with you guys. It is a gorgeous day outside, so I'm glad to see everyone inside to celebrate together our Lord and our Savior. This morning, we're just going to remind ourselves of some of the foundational truths, the declarations that we make that ground our faith. So this morning, we're going to sing one together, this creed together. Let's worship.
Savior, I believe.
Jesus. Mrs. Matthews, Tristan, and I had a conversation yesterday. And we were talking about what is, and this is going to surprise some of you, we have a difference of opinion on something. I know it doesn't happen in your house. It happens in ours. But we were talking about, though, what did we believe are important things for students to know? What's our goal when students leave the student ministry? What's our goal? And so we verbalized it different ways, difference of opinion, which happens naturally. But where we agreed is that it's vital for our students to know the truths of Scripture that will ground them when they leave high school and go to college, wherever it is they go. And therefore, from that, they will it will guide some of their behaviors and also guide their understanding of their identity of who they are. Kenny, why does this matter? Well, this morning, what we've been learning actually all summer has been we've been looking through the veil. We've been looking at Jesus in the Old Testament so that we can celebrate and worship him in the New Testament. And so as we've been learning those foundational truths, these places where Jesus was revealed, and now these places where we see him clearly, we've just been, I think, as a family, just been getting reaffirmed in the consistency of Scripture, that God is the same guy in the Old Testament. He's the same God in the New Testament. He's the same God today. And that we can ground our lives, found our lives on that, because we see the consistency over the track of the Bible narrative, and then we see his consistency in our lives today. This morning, we're just singing reminders. We're singing reminders. This is the song we just sung. I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe he's who he says he is. I believe that we will rise again and be with him. Like, those are just reminders of the truths of God's faithfulness, the foundation of what we build our lives on. And we're going to continue to sing a song that again was going to call us back to the Old Testament and go, that's the same God back then that we still trust and still found our faith on this morning. Jesus asked Peter who he says he is. And Peter says, I believe you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says that on that confession that he builds his church. And that's the confession that we stand on this morning, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's continue to worship the God who is faithful, the God who is consistent, the God who is the foundation of the church globally, and certainly the foundation of the church here at Perry Hall, Maryland. Let's worship together.
Speak the word. Stable by
Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we get to sing these words, these reminders. And Lord, to dwell for a moment on those things that we believe. These are the foundations. Lord, I thank you personally on behalf of especially the Matthews family, Lord, that we get to come together once a week, 52 times a year, maybe a few more if we do the small group thing. And Lord, we get to gather and just be affirmed in the truth. Lord, that's precious and special. Lord, I thank you that you have blessed us with a church family that we get to do that with, and a church that holds the truths of your word high, holds you high. Lord, because you are, you're great and high and huge and mighty and wonderful. Lord, this morning we desire to just again be encouraged and affirmed in your truth. Lord, open our hearts to what your word says. And Lord, we pray that we would leave this place more like you and more in love with you than we were when we walked in. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all your many blessings. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. And kiddos, you are dismissed, I think, this morning. You guys have a good morning. I tell you, thank you, brother. I tell you, it is cool getting to watch 40, 50, I can't count very well, but a whole bunch of people, the very few people in this building who are shorter than me. It's fun to get to watch them all go out to class. And a huge shout out to the kids' church team. Again, part of the conversation that Tristan and I had together is that we love that we can safely send Ken Mike running off to a classroom and he's going to get encouraged in the truth. Well, good morning, family. Again, it's good to see you. We've got a couple of announcements. Kim, I'm going to need some help. Thank you so much. Kim is the best. If you guys don't know, Kim Sloan, hero. All right. So this is exciting. Coming up Wednesday, August 20th, that is this Wednesday, 6:30 in this room. We were trying to do this fairly consistently as a church family, get together specifically for the purpose of prayer and worship. And so 6:30 in this room on Wednesday, we're going to get together to pray specifically about the upcoming school year. Summer is an exciting time here. September is an even more exciting time here, again, because we start with what is, I think, one of the biggest ministries of this building, of this church, which is Perry Hall Christian School, and then also a bunch of other young people in this room and some teachers in this room are going to go back to work, go back out on the front lines of educating and loving students. And so we want to pray over that together. There's going to be a team that will be here praying, but also there's going to be a team that's going to go to Perry Hall High School and pray there, which is really exciting. If you want to be a part of that team or need some more information about that, please do contact Mr. Fred Walker, and he can give you some information about how you can join that crew over at Perry Hall High. He's going to do some prayer there as well. Women Connect, you guys are getting together Saturday, August 23rd, 10 to 12 in the refinery. You guys are going to be doing some sewing and just hanging out and getting together to just, again, be encouraged in God's word. So, ladies, if you have not registered for that, please reach out to Miss Kim so that she can get you signed up and so that you can be a part of those wonderful gatherings. I know they're a treat. The men's gatherings are a treat. So I know the women's gatherings are because they have better food. And then our members meeting is coming up Sunday, the 24th. That's next Sunday at 11:30 here in the sanctuary, so directly following service. So we're going to be voting over a few things or approving the budget at least. And so again, family, we'd love for as many of you as our members to make it a priority to hang out after church on Sunday at 11:30 so that we can hear all the things that are going on here. Our leaders are really faithful to try and keep things super organized. So it is a treat. It's worth coming just so you know what's going on here in the body of Perry Hall Baptist. Fam, love y'all. It's good to be with you this morning. And it is my pleasure to turn things over to Pastor Dave.
I get so excited to be up here early, and I know you are too, because I have so much. What are you saying? Yeah, no, you talk just fine. But good morning. I'm Pastor Dave. If I have not met you, we're so glad you're here. I've met a few new folks today. Hope to be able to meet them more. So good to be with you. We're celebrating today daughter number three of four. Got married yesterday, and it was a great blessing for our family. That is our daughter Kenzie. She's got a wonderful husband now. His name is Sam, and we celebrated with just family. You know, it's funny, as pastor, when you have these kind of events, you think, well, who do you invite? You want to invite the whole church. So we got smart. We didn't invite any of you. It was cheaper. We were on the front porch of some very dear friends. I'm not mentioning who they are simply because I don't know if they want anybody to know that you can come there. But it was a beautiful day, and it was a beautiful setting. I believe we honored the Lord as we talked about marriage, which is never ultimately about the couple. Marriage is ultimately about the Lord and His love for His bride. So we are rejoicing for that, and I will rejoice with you also in a different way for our head of our young person's ministry, Marie France. Last week, you remember, we prayed for Marie because she had fallen and broken her hip. That was last Saturday, and we were praying that she would have a surgery that Sunday. It didn't happen until Monday, and the surgery went well, but there were complications that came out of that, some challenges to her kidneys and to her heart and blood pressure. And it just was really tough for a couple days, but I'm happy to say as of today, Marie is doing wonderfully. As Pastor Chris said in one particular text chain about Marie, she is built differently. So 101 almost, and she went through a hip surgery. I don't even think they like to do them at her age. Or any age when you get up there, and she rolled with it with flying colors, and just a few things that came out of probably the trauma of surgery slowed her down for a couple days, but she is doing well today, and she always asks the question, I'm 100 and almost 1 year old, and she wants to know why she's still here. She said, can I go home? I want to go home. I could have gotten a hip in heaven. But Jay and Jeanette have almost been by her side 100% of the time, sleeping in the hospital to be with her. Her theology's not perfect, I don't think, because she actually asked that I would rush down. She says, I either need to see God or see Pastor Dave. Well, I had to be the one to let her down, so I went, but did remind her that God was already there and that she was in good hands. And so keep her in your prayers as she continues to recover. Today we will find ourselves in the book of Deuteronomy. So there's a stretch for you. Deuteronomy chapter 18. If you want to turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to pray over that in just a minute. I'm so grateful there's people here that are visiting with us, and you're coming into the middle of a summer series. Each message stands alone in many ways, as today's will. But it is a series called Behind the Veil because we're looking at Jesus throughout the entire Bible. We're exalting Christ from Genesis through Revelation. And over this series, there's mixed reports about whether I take too long introducing the sermon. Some people love the introduction. Other people think I take too long to introduce. I'm pretty sure some of you don't even know what I said last week. So I'm introducing it again for you, but I also want to be mindful that some of the folks are visiting with us, and we want to give you a picture. So the bottom line is, we've been looking at the idea of exalting Christ throughout the whole Old Testament, throughout the whole Bible, but specifically the Old Testament. And what has been beautiful about this, you have been able to have some key points, some key themes that will change how you read the Bible from Genesis 3:15, what's in a name, and following the seed of the woman all through the Bible. We've looked at the second or the last Adam and giving you a big perspective on the first and the last Adam. These are all themes that go through all the scripture. We looked at Jesus as a cornerstone. We looked at Jesus as a rock. We've looked at Jesus as the tabernacle. We've looked at Jesus as the high priest. And today we're going to look at Jesus as a prophet. And what's beautiful about each of these wonderful subject matter topics, it helps you see that the entire Bible is designed to exalt Jesus. Even as I stood before my daughter and her husband-to-be in front of an audience that was probably half outside looking in, and to be able to explain that even marriage itself is about him. And so, folks, I hope you're grasping that, but I want to give you a testimony. I'm not going to embarrass or bring the name up, but I want to give you a little testimony from this series that I received this week. Pastor, I want to thank you for the summer series, and many, many of you have thanked us for this summer series. And I think this represents many of us. I always thought that the Old Testament was a bunch of laws and stories that were not really relevant to me today. There's actually some preachers today that are famous that seem to think that as well. But I was so wrong. You and Pastor Chris have opened my eyes, and it has been so exciting to read the Old Testament now. Can everybody raise your hand? How exciting it is to read the Old Testament. Some of you would raise your hand, some of you won't. I appreciate that you're not going to fake it. She says this. This has opened my eyes to read the Old Testament. Listen, I love how the Bible is all about Jesus. And here's the second part that we hope that is an outcome. This has solidified my belief that the Bible is truly God's word. Amen? Amen. That is good stuff, folks. So I'm grateful for that testimony. If you'll turn with me, and we'll have a little bit of time together today. Your notes tell us that we're in this theme of Jesus as the greater prophet. We'll start in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We'll be reading verse 15 and following of Deuteronomy 18. Verse 18, we're going to start with verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, quote, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words, there's this second time this word listen, whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word of the Lord? How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for another chance to be in your word. Father, you are the author of Scripture. You are the interpreter of Scripture. And Father, your Son is the prophet, the one who brings the word to us. Father, may you bless not only the reading of your word today, may you bless us as we listen and listen well and hear your word. Father, may you do your work as you have promised in each person in this room or each person watching online today. May you speak, Lord. You are a speaking God. May we hear you today. And Father, we need your help. We need your grace. Would you meet with us, Lord? May you help us to understand your word. May you be glorified by it. May we be changed. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When we think of prophets today, we don't think as much of prophets in the sense of Old Testament or New Testament prophets. We think of people primarily, when we think of prophets, as those that foretell the future. Those prophets that can look into the future or get a word from God and look into the future. This is a typical understanding of prophecy in the Bible. And indeed, one of the roles of the prophet was to be revelatory, to speak things that would still yet, had yet not happened, things in the future. Almost all of those prophecies, all of them really pointing to the coming of the Messiah. So we think of a prophet in that term. Today you have prophets in the, not using that name, prophets that J. Vernon McGee, does anybody even know? We're getting old. Does anybody know that name, J. Vernon McGee? A few of you. He's still alive, I think, because they still say, come join us to hear Dr. McGee. He's passed away. He's in heaven. But he used to call weathermen false prophets. And he was always reminding them that the Old Testament requirement was death for a false prophet, and how most weather people would indeed be stoned to death because of their false prophecy. Some of you think you're prophets in that way because you're on these new things called DraftKings and FanDuel. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if that's any good. Where you predict the outcomes of sporting events, and you're so excited about your sporting event prophecy, you're trying to make a prophet spelled P-R-O-F-I-T. This is not what the Bible means by any of that. Yes, there's a looking to... But the primary purpose of a prophet was to take God's word to the people, to represent God to the people through his word. Remember last week we talked about a priest whose main role is to bring the people before God as an intermediary and to bring the people before God. The prophet in a different direction takes the words of God and brings them to the people. We had prophets all the way back to Genesis chapter 20 as an example. Abraham, by God, is called a prophet in Genesis 20, verse 7. Samuel is a prophet. Elijah and Elisha, prophets. There was in Kings, the book of Kings, a school of prophets. As a matter of fact, there's another place where Obadiah rescues 100 prophets. So we see this term, and then we get to what we now refer to as the major prophets and the minor prophets in Scripture. Major because of the content or the volume of their work. The minor, not because they were unimportant, because of the volume of their work, the size of the books. So this whole theme of prophets goes through all of Scripture. And anybody for the quiz today, who is the last Old Testament prophet? You're going to say Malachi, the Italian prophet? It's actually Malachi, but you'd be wrong. That's what you were thinking. You'd be wrong. Thank you, Mr. Ed. John the Baptist would be the last one of the Old Testament prophets. It's not meant to be a trick question, but if you read about him, you'll understand it. So if you look at this passage, and we're talking about prophets, and ultimately our lesson today is about Jesus, the greater prophet, and we're looking at two things: Moses as the prophet, who is a faithful servant, and Jesus, who is the great prophet, who is a faithful son. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want you to see from this passage if we cannot build some of the things about a prophet. So number one, verse 15, this is prelude to your, this is not your point, so just calm down. This is an introduction. Verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. Now, let's face it, folks, coming after Moses, the great, great prophet, even though Abraham was a prophet, even though in the list of the heroes of the Jewish nation, Abraham is the father, Moses is their great prophet. He's the lawgiver. And so Moses, the attention is on him throughout the Jewish, the people, especially of the religion of Judaism today. I was sitting on a bench in Bethany Beach this summer waiting for a pizza, and my daughter Addie was with me, but she escaped into a store. She's been well trained to go in every store there is. And a man was sitting on the bench, so I sat next to the man. Hint, hint. When you're out and about, sit with somebody you don't know, just in case God has designed an appointment for you and that person. What a great way to have a conversation. We talked. He was in his 80s. We had small talk. Things were going well. Then his wife showed up and found out I was a pastor, and she was quick to tell me, well, we're Jewish. I said, good for you. I think it's wonderful. Jesus was Jewish. His people were Jewish. So we talked for a while, and then he made this comment, the man. He said, well, because I started to share the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is resurrection, said this fella. There is no evidence for. Now, you can see where he's coming from. This is wonderful. So by the time we end, I put some pebbles in that fella's shoe. So much so that he had to walk like this. The Jewish people knew that a prophet was to come. Now, yes, there was prophets, one after the other, one after the other. But the prophet, he was yet to come. That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to pay attention to, and we'll come back to, is at the end of that verse, I will raise up a prophet. By the way, if because I won't have time, if you want to write just next to this little spot here in the first verse of this passage, Deuteronomy 18:15, just write for yourself Acts 3:22-23. That's Acts 3:22-23. And you will see there, probably in Acts 7:47, this passage quoted. Both in chapter 3, as Peter is preaching in Solomon's portico. Chapter 7 is Stephen's speech. Both of them mentioning this passage right here as talking about the coming of the Messiah. So write those verses down. Here we go. And then it says this: it is to him you shall listen. You remember this word is a key word in the Old Testament, this idea of listening, even back in the great Shema of Hebrews chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, here is the idea of listening. Listen to him. Listen, just as you desired, and it goes on to tell the story of when they really didn't want to hear from the Lord. In verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, that's like Moses, from among their brothers, and I love this, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. So a true prophet preaches the word, shares the word of God. We know that somebody is a true prophet, and even today we have prophets, not in the sense, I don't believe, of those telling us about the future, but absolutely prophets that are proclaiming the word of God, telling the word of God. This is the difference between foretelling the future and forthtelling the present, giving the word of God. And even in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, the gift of prophecy is considered a spiritual gift. But if their word does not match the scriptures, then they are a false prophet. The word God has given them, they don't speak that. And so, folks, we have many, and I'm not referring to what I said earlier about weather people. I'm talking about people that sometimes stand behind a pulpit and they preach or proclaim what they say is the word of God, but it doesn't match the scriptures. This is a danger. It's one of the great works of Satan. This is going on all around us. And the best false prophets are the ones that don't look like false prophets. The best false prophets look really like true prophets. And this is one of the reasons at Perry Hall we spend so much time to teach the Bible verse by verse, that we would be students of it. I'll get occasionally an email or a text and somebody says, "What do you think of this guy? He's a false prophet. Don't send me him again." And we have to help. We have to protect. We share. We encourage. So here we have this incredibly important passage in the Old Testament that Moses is prophesying as the great prophet of a prophet that will come. Now I would like to flip us over to the New Testament. Let's change that direction. Let's go backwards to the book of Numbers. Let's go backwards to the book of Numbers. And we're going to go to Numbers chapter 12. And just please keep this theme, and your points will be almost our application. Numbers chapter 12. I'm starting to mark up my Bible so much I'm having trouble reading it. This is Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said in verse 2, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us and other?" He's not the only guy. You've spoken through us. You speak through us. It shouldn't be just him getting all the glory. Look what we've done. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, Moses is the greatest prophet until John the Baptist, and you say, "Well, how do you know who's greater?" Because Jesus says so. Matthew 11, 11, "There is none risen that is greater than John the Baptist." But we do see here that Moses was very meek, more than all the people. And I'll just remind you that one of the great similarities between Moses and Jesus is humility and meekness. Jesus willing to give up everything to be humiliated on the cross. Verse 4, "Suddenly the Lord said to Moses," can you imagine this scene, folks? "The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, 'Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting.' And the three of them came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward." Oh, what would change if this happened today? Maybe. And he said, quote, "Hear, listen, my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Remember that phrase, folks. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And behold, he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? In other words, they were not afraid. And the point is, why were you not afraid? Why are you not afraid of my servant? Speak against him. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, now Miriam was leprous, like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." Here we see this intercessory role of Moses, even acting as a priest. And Moses cried to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her, please." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, should she not be shamed even 7 days?" This was the rites of purification and cleansing. "Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march until Miriam was brought in again. So here you see an example of what happens when you speak against the prophet of God. And we see here that this is a very dangerous thing to do. It very nearly causes her death for sure, but at least she becomes leprous. And there is a consequence to not listening to the prophet. Last Old Testament passage before we go to the new. Last chapter of Deuteronomy. Back to Deuteronomy. Last chapter. Deuteronomy 34, just before you get to the book of Joshua. Deuteronomy 34, and interesting, Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five books. At this point, Moses is coming to the end of his life, and this is the editorial note given to the end of this book. Chapter 34, verse 10. "There has not arisen a prophet," remember that language, "since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Remember, he spoke with him mouth to mouth. Here we see none like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. "None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel." Please now turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. You remember from last week that the book of Hebrews is a commentary, an exposition of several Old Testament passages. The book of Hebrews, while we do not know the author, we know the recipients were Hellenistic, that's Jews that were cultured as Greeks, like Greeks. Whoever received this book had an incredible understanding of the Old Testament. The author did, and the people would have understood it by the way the author speaks. By the way, Hebrews is more than an epistle. It's more like a sermon that has been put in written form. But here we have chapter 3. We're just going to read 6 verses, and then we're going to tie the Old Testament and the New Testament together. "Therefore, holy brothers," certainly includes holy sisters, "you who share in a heavenly calling," the Hebrew Christians, the recipients of this book, Christians, although it's almost certain there were some that had not fully come to know Christ, "consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession," we'll come back to that, "who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all of God's house. For Jesus had been counted worthy of much more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify, proclaim to the things that would be spoken later. There's prophecy. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast. So let's just see if we can do real quickly this idea of Moses as a faithful servant, Jesus as a faithful son. Moses. Now let's start with the comparisons. Moses was faithful in his house as a servant. Jesus was faithful over the house. Moses filled the role of deliverer as he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Jesus' role is a deliverer who redeems his people. Moses had a prophetic role. Jesus has a greater prophetic role, but Jesus is a prophet. Throughout the book of John and many of the Gospels, you'll see that often when Jesus does something, the people go, listen to this, this is important. Is this the prophet? They know the Old Testament. They know Deuteronomy 18, 15. They knew the story of Mary and her leprosy. Is this the prophet? If you remember when Jesus in Luke chapter 7 and verse 16 healed the widow's son, raised the widow's son, the widow of Nain, that's the town she lived in, and the people go, basically there's fear takes over them, and what's the question, what's the statement that keeps coming up over and over? Is this the prophet? In other words, they're trying to piece together what we just read in Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 34, 10. They're trying to piece this together. Is this the one that Moses talked about? Is it possible? Well, the comparisons, faithful, deliverer, prophet, Moses is a great lawgiver, prophecy in the sense of looking into the future. Moses talked about things that would be yet to come about the Messiah. Jesus himself, if you remember in Matthew 24, prophetically speaks of the coming fall of Jerusalem in just a few decades from when he lived. There's this prophetic nature foretelling what Jesus does. So there's similarities there. Moses acts in a role of priest. Some people struggle with that idea, but Psalm 99:6 says that Moses was a priest. But then you have this idea of Jesus as the high priest. So again and again, folks, what we're trying to stress here is that Jesus is greater than the angels, chapter 1. He's the great one of the deliverer, chapter 2. He's greater than Moses in Hebrews, chapter 3. He's greater than the promised land because he's the one that gives true rest in chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And he is the greater high priest, Hebrews 4, 14 through 10, 20. Greater, greater, more glory. He's the one. The writer of Hebrews is making that statement. Moses, similarities to Christ. Now, let's just stop for a second and think. Primarily, a prophet would tell of judgment. Read Isaiah, read the other prophets. You'll see this idea of judgment. They pronounce oracles of woe, oracles of blessing, depending on what God had sent to them. And so what we're trying to make clear today and over the last week and maybe next week is that the position of priest who was anointed in the Old Testament, the position of king like David who was anointed by Samuel, the position of a prophet that was an anointed position chosen by God, all of these roles or offices are coming to be fulfilled perfectly in Christ. But while there are similarities between Moses and Jesus, there are great contrasts. Number one, Moses led the people out of bondage to Egypt and into the promised land. Jesus leads people out of bondage to sin and leads them to the heavenly promised land. Moses gives the prophecies as Jesus does, but guess what? Jesus is the subject of the prophecies. Moses proclaims, as all prophets do, the word of the Lord. Jesus is the word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh, and the word dwelt among us. The word was with. He is the Logos. Moses and all the prophets and John, they gave their words, and all prophets sent by God, they gave their words. But not only is Jesus the word, he is the final word. Look back just two chapters to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews. Verses 1 and 2, chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers, how? By the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Folks, this is the deity of Christ, so beautiful that he is God. So the prophet Moses speaks the words of God. Jesus is the word. Moses speaks about the things of God. Jesus is God. Moses did not enter the promised land, if you recall. He in anger struck the rock twice, and God said, because of this, you won't go into the promised land. Think about this. Moses, in all of these ways, as a beautiful picture of Christ, and yet he was still a sinner. He does not make the promised land. That does not mean he doesn't make the promised land, but this physical picture. Jesus, the prophet, and the high priest, the perfect spotless lamb, not only leads his people to a spiritual reality of a heavenly tabernacle and to a place of rest as the substitution for us on the cross as that lamb. He doesn't fall short. He accomplishes all that he endeavored to plan to accomplish, all that he was called by his Father to accomplish. So we see comparisons. We see contrast. Now let's go back to chapter 3. And see the one that the writer of Hebrews makes so clear. Verse 3. At the end of verse 2, Moses was faithful in God's house. This is not meant to speak of a building. This is the people of God, not the building. The people of God. Moses was faithful. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant to testify to these things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Here comes the Hebrew writer of Hebrews' conclusion. Moses was faithful as a servant. Interesting word here. Almost always in the New Testament, the word for servant or slave is doulos. That is not the word here. It's a different Greek word. This one speaks of a servant that has dignity, willful service, a blessing there. Completely different word. Moses was a servant, but listen, folks, he wasn't the son. So while he served in the house of God's people, Jesus is the Son of God who is the builder of the house. The writer of Hebrews is making it very clear to us. Moses was the great prophet of Israel. Jesus is the greater prophet of God. Moses was just a servant. Jesus is the Son. Both were the meekest that ever lived. Moses for the Lord. Jesus was the Lord. He gave up everything. Now, if we could just think about this for a little bit, reminding you that I have passed over so much. And the goal is that you would now spend this week thinking about this passage or these passages. But let's think if we can look at four key words that have come out today by way of our application. They'll be quick. Don't get nervous. The first one is in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Folks, depending on where you are today, the most important thing that can happen today is for us to consider Jesus. For believers, we fix our eyes upon Jesus. This word consider comes with the idea of with thoughtful, significant attention. It would be almost like contemplation and meditation. It is to think deeply. Consider Jesus. If you're a believer here today, consider your life with Jesus. Consider Jesus and ask the other follow-up question, how often do you consider Jesus? Is Jesus he present in the sense of your spiritual thinking throughout the day and you give constant thought of him? You go to work and you think about Jesus. You consider Jesus. You come home and you live your life as a family, but you consider Jesus. The whole writer of Hebrews is screaming, Jesus is supreme to everyone. Consider him. Consider him first and foremost. Consider him ultimately with everything we've got. Consider Jesus. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, then this becomes the most important thing that you can do today in this moment. And some of you here, I believe, have shared that you have not yet come to know Jesus. And we're glad you're here. But our encouragement, our exhortation to you is, would you consider Jesus today as the Savior of your life and the Lord of your life? He died for you and he rose again and conquered death and the enemy and sin, and he has ascended to heaven and he's reigning from heaven where he is still the prophet. Yes, he is the high priest making intercession, but even today, anytime the word of God goes forth and the word of God changes a heart and there's transformation, we can give thanks through the Holy Spirit to the great prophet who shares and makes the word known, even today. Consider Jesus, whether you're one of his or somebody that sits here today that does not know him. That's the first word, consider Jesus. The second word, consider Jesus the apostle. Now, how many times would you call Jesus an apostle? We probably wouldn't use that term often, would we? Why? Because when I say apostle, what comes to mind? The 12 apostles. That's true, capital A. But an apostle is simply one that is sent. Jesus, throughout the Gospel of John, says, the Father sent me. The Father sent me. Just as we saw that word in Deuteronomy, Moses was one in Exodus that was sent. He was sent, and the idea of an apostle is one that has been commissioned. An emissary, an ambassador, one that is sent out on a mission. Jesus comes on a mission for his Father to do the will of the Father. And by the way, throughout John as well, Jesus said, the words that I share with you are not my words. Whose words were they? They were his Father's words. He said, they're not mine, they're his. So Jesus, that prophet, has been sent. He has indeed been commissioned by his Father to carry out the work that the Father has called him to do. And folks, he came on a mission to bring glory to his Father and to bring salvation for all those that would call upon him in faith and repentance. He was the great prophet, is. He's also the great apostle, the one greater than Moses who was sent. Third word. It is not in this text, but I think it follows closely with the word consider. But I reminded you when we were reading through Deuteronomy, I don't want to make us turn back there. Do you remember when it said that there will be a prophet that comes like Moses? Does anybody remember what came next? A prophet will come like me. What are we supposed to do when we hear that prophet? Listen! Listen to the prophet. Now, last time I'm going to make you turn back to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. This is the account of the transfiguration when Peter, James, and John had a chance to see Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. But I want you to see something, folks. If this doesn't tie, listen, I'm trying to make a case that the prophet that Moses said will come in a long line of prophets, the prophet would be Jesus. And we are called to listen to him. Listen to this. Listen to this. Chapter 17, verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, Matthew 17, 2. And his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Peter said, it seems like Peter should have not talked. Are you with me? But Peter speaks. Peter said to Jesus, quote, Lord, is it good for that we are here if you wish? I'm sorry. It is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Verse 5, he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them and a voice from heaven. Now, listen, Peter's talking and the Lord interrupts him. Peter's talking and the Lord interrupts. God interrupts. Let's read the rest of that. Quote, the voice from the cloud said, quote, this is my beloved son. Remember that at Jesus' baptism? With whom I am well pleased. That's what it said back in Matthew earlier. But look at this line. Quote, listen to him. The great prophet Moses talking about the greater prophet yet to come. In Deuteronomy 18 says, listen to him. Jesus, the greater prophet, his father's son, says, listen to him. Do you see how it all now comes together? What a beautiful picture of Scripture. This is just another reminder of the uniqueness, the inerrancy, the authority of the Scriptures, that God, all Scripture inspired by God, God breathed. So he said, consider Jesus, consider the apostle Jesus, listen to him. It is a dangerous thing, folks, as we come to a close, to not consider or to listen to Jesus. The physical picture back in Numbers 12, when they didn't listen to Moses and wanted to be Moses, is what's the picture of what happens to Miriam? A physical consequence. For those today that will not listen to Jesus, will not consider him enough to understand the call of his upon our lives, a call to repent and in faith follow him. This is to not listen to him comes with a warning. Leprosy with Marian, eternal punishment in hell for not listening to Jesus. Listen to him, God says. Listen to him. But a warning. If you don't listen to him, you don't know him. You'll spend eternity separated from him. At the end of that passage in Hebrews, I won't make you turn back. It gives a word of warning to the Hebrews. And the warning is this, that you will be saved if you persevere to the end. We talk here at Perry Hall Baptist Church. If you're new, you'll hear this today. And if you've been here a while, you've heard it a lot. We believe that when you're a child of God, you've been saved by grace through faith, not of works, not anything you've done, but all of what he's done. And he has changed your heart, regenerated your heart, and made you a new person. He made you one of his, and you're in union with him. Folks, listen, you will never be lost. Not because we're going to persevere, but because he preserves us. None will be lost. The question about if you persevere to the end, you will be saved, doesn't mean a believer will persevere and at the end not persevere and then they're lost. What it means is the person that proclaims to know Christ, and this is where, folks, it really hits right here, is where the rubber meets the road. Are you saved is the question. Not whether you'll persevere, but, you know, we say once saved, always saved. We'll use that terminology. The question isn't always saved. That's a promise. The question, has you been once saved? That's the warning. Consider Jesus, the prophet, the apostle, the sent one who's on a mission. Listen to him. Be warned today. And the last one, last word. God in his grace is a speaking God. From the speaking of the creation to his conversations with Adam and Eve, with his conversations and speaking to his prophets throughout history, to speaking to us most perfectly in his word, he has been gracious to give us his words. Just think about this for a minute. Where would we be without his word? You wouldn't know him, God. You wouldn't know his plan. You wouldn't know his mission. You wouldn't know his will. You wouldn't know his son. You wouldn't know your sin. You wouldn't know where you're going. You wouldn't know your purpose. You wouldn't know how to please him. You see how in grace God has given us the word. And that word is a person. He is the greater prophet. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to open up your word and to learn from it. Father, what a joy it is to see the way that the Bible is interconnected and how the pieces are all fitting together as we study your word throughout this summer series. Oh, Father, we love the people you used to point us to you. Father, we love that your word will always accomplish its purposes. We love that in grace you are a speaking God and have chosen not to be private. Father, we can't fathom what it would have been like if you'd have never let us in to the knowledge of who you are. Oh, Father God, may we afresh this morning see the greatness of your word. Father, may we indeed consider you, contemplate your son who was sent on from you as a prophet to us. And like all the other prophets, this prophet was indeed Jesus, the incarnate one, the Son of God, the Messiah. And unlike all other prophets, this prophet can actually change hearts and change lives and transform us. Oh, Father God, if there be anyone here today that does not know you, may they cry out to the prophet. May they consider him the one that was sent to save them. Father, may they cry out to you today. For those of us that know you, may we be again convicted of the ways that we may not in our current lives be listening to the prophet through his word. Father, is there any area in our lives that we are choosing to or not recognizing that we're not listening? And for some, Father, facing impending judgment, we pray, oh, intervene in their lives. Father, thank you for our study, because Jesus is the most glorious one. He is supreme. He is our greater prophet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together.
My anchor to the ground, my hope and faith.
thinking about now when we read through the Old Testament, anytime you read of a prophet, your mind is taken to the great prophet. Anytime you read about a priesthood or a Levitical system, or even maybe read through the book of Leviticus, you'll think of a great high priest. Or maybe as you go through the pages of Scripture, every time you see mention of a ruler, a king, or a judge, your attention is drawn to the great king. That would be our prayer. We're going to close now with just a word of prayer. And after the service, right back in this far corner through there is a library. And Mark and Jenny Fay are going to be there if anybody would like to pray. We would love to pray for you if there's health issues, relational issues, or if you're struggling in your walk with Jesus, we would love to pray with you. And instead of making you come up, sometimes that can be a tough thing to do. Back in that room, Mark and Jenny will be there to pray with you. We would love you to come back and really be cool. If some of you have been waiting to make a decision to follow Jesus, we would love to talk to you about him and help you consider him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. What a joy to be together as your people. We love that you have put this family together. Father, may we as a collective community be a wonderful testimony to all those around us. Father, may this be a gospel lighthouse. And then individually, Father, would you take us into our own communities and would you help us to be willing to sit on a bench next to someone? Would you help us to be willing to talk to our neighbor? Would you help us to be willing to talk to a coworker? Father, make us in a very real way those that have been sent, because that's what you've called us to do. We love you, Lord. We commit our day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everyone.